We're here on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Towards the top of the Omud, I think we got up to Omer Avchizda, which is about six lines down from the top. And what we've said so far is that the lowest level of an Iser Bia is what we call an Esei She'ena Shog Bakol. In contrast to the Chayove essay of Mitzri Va'adomi, which is Shavala Kol, and that's also an Isra Asay based on the Pasuk of Dor Shlishi Yavolahem Bekal Hashem, we have the case of a Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, and that's an essay because the Torah says, I ki im besula me'am of yikach isha. And this lav haba machal essay is eino shove bakol. And insofar as it's on the lowest level of the totem pole, it means that even Rabbi Akiva would agree, even according to Rabbi Yeshevev's very extreme formulation of Rabbi Akiva, that kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael avad mamzer. So there'll be no Havaya, no Tfisus Kiddushin in any Isur Bia, but the exception is going to be Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol, because Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol is an Isur essay, and it's Einu Shav Bakol. So that's going to be now the Nafkemina between Rav Shimon ben Menasya and Shimon Hatimdi. In terms of how to interpret which woman is included in the parasha of Knas, Shimon HaTimni says that it's an Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya, and that would include a Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Why? Because now we're saying that even Rabbi Akiva would agree that insofar as it's Eino Shav Bakol, there is Tfisas Kiddushin, Yesh Ba Havaya, and therefore he would pay the knas. Rav Shimon ben Asi on the other hand says, Isha Ruila Kaimo, any woman that he's not allowed to get married to is excluded from the parsha of knas, and therefore Be'ula, as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, is excluded from this parsha, and that's what we have. So we're starting today with Omer Avchizda, Hakol Modim, Bibal Anida, Shemeshalim Knas. No matter which definition you accept, and Velosi Elisha excludes either the way Shimon HaTimani has it or the way Rav Shimon ben Asi has it, in either case, Nida is not going to be excluded. And the reason for that is, Lamadi Omer, if you go and coin to Shimon HaTimni, he's of the opinion that only where this Tfisus Kiddushin is she included in the Knas is Yesh Ba'avaya. Any woman that has Tfisus Kiddushin, Hanami, this case also the Nida, is Yesh Ba'avaya. Now it's Mekadish Sanida is Mekudeshes. And the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin and Daf Samaches derives this from a Pasuk Vayikra Tesvav, Usehi Nidasa Olav, Shafil Bishas Nidasa Teheba Havaya. So there's Tfisus Kiddushin in the case of a Nida. As far as Nisu and a Chup is concerned, that's much more complicated because the Rambam requires a Chup Arui Labia. But as far as Kiddushin is concerned, that's Havaya. The Gemara establishes without question that there is Tfisas Kiddushin in a Nida. So as far as Shimon HaTimni is concerned, Nida would be included in Knas because Yesh Ba Havaya. And then the Gemara goes on to say that even according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, Laman Di Omar, Ru'uy L'Kaima, the way Rav Shimon ben Menasya interprets the Pasuk Losi Elisha, that there's no Isur Bia, here it's considered Hanami Ru'uy L'Kaima, meaning he can continue in his relationship with her. He doesn't have to divorce her. Right now she's in a temporary state of Nida. And that doesn't make her into Eino Ru'uy L'Kaima, but rather on the contrary, she's Ru'uy L'Kaima. Now, there's a Tosas here, Dibra Maskil Hakol Modin. And I'll just give a short synopsis of the Tosfos as far as what's relevant to us. He says that even though you could have argued that according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, there's another reason why we might exclude this woman from a knas, and that is because of the principle of chayvei krisus. In other words, when he has be'ila, let's say he has an ones situation with a woman who's a nida, he's chayv kares for that relationship. And perhaps we would apply the principle of kimle b'derabimine. But Tosfos points out that our sugya here, and Rav Chisda in our sugya, they're of the opinion that we don't apply kimle b'derabimine in the case of chayvei krisus. That's the unique shita of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, which we're about to embark upon. But none of the other Tanoim, and certainly now our Mishnah, does not reflect the shita of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. So therefore, if you cannot introduce the p'tur knas based on kimle b'derabimine in the case of nida, you can only, shall we say, raise the possibility of a p'tur knas in nida under either the halacha of Shimon HaTimni, which means yesh bahavaya, ha'ein bahavaya, lo avi knas, or according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, ruya l'kaima, ha'ein ruya l'kaima, lo avi knas. But the Gemara points out that in both cases we have an inclusion of nida. Nida is included in knas, either because yesh bahavaya, and that was the sugya kedushin, that there is tefisas kedushin in a nida, or alternatively ruya l'kaima. And Hanami Ru'il Akaiva.
Wouldn't, I mean, if she's a Nara and she already started menstruating, then he'd be Chayav Kares regardless if she wasn't.
Right, that was the subject of this Tosfos, that Lechora right. We should not go off Knas under the Chayav Kares, but we already have in our Mishnah all these cases of Chayav Kares, so like Bala Choso.
Okay, so
Tosfos goes very far in a limb. He says there's no Tana that accepted the Shita of Kimle b'derabimine, the unique Shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, which you're about to learn, that Chayvei Krisus Peturim in HaTashlumin. So therefore, Rav Chisda is operating without Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. So the only possible reason you could exclude Knas in the case of a Nida is either under the requirement of Yesh Bahavaya, that's what Shimon HaTimni says, or the requirement of Ru'uya L'Kaima, the way Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. And in both cases, we're going to include Nida. Nida is a very unique kind of Chiyuv Kares. That number one, the Tefisas Kedushin is valid, and number two, he's allowed to remain married with her. No one's going to say yes to divorce her. Now, Rav Osai, this Gemara that we're learning, if we had time to really study this more be'iyun, we would probably want to know where Nida, as an Issur Kares, where it fits in to the entire constellation of what's called Arayos. I'll give you an example. We have Halach in Arayos of Yehoreg ve'al Yava, one of the three cardinal sins for which you have to give up your life, rather than violate the sin, if need be, would be Gili Arayos. Where would Nida fit in? Is Nida called an Erva, insofar as she's a Chiv Kares? Or is Nida somehow an exception to the rule? She's in a category of her own. It's an Isur Bia, but it doesn't have a Shem Erva. This could also be relevant to what we call the Isur Yichud. Yichud applies on a Doraisa level to an Erva. A woman who's not an Erva might come under Gzeres Rabbanon, where there's a lot of leniencies, but it would not come under a Doraisa unless it's an Erva. So take, for example, if a man would be alone with an Eishes Ish, in a case where it's Ein Baal Be'ir, and the door is locked, and all the conditions are going there, he'd be violating the Issur Yichud Doraisa. What about if a man is alone with a Nida? Let's say she's not married, so there's no Issur Eishes Ish. So then you have the Issur Nida. As an Issur Kares, you would have thought intuitively that Nida, like any other Issur Kares, generates the status of an Erva, and therefore the halacha of Issur Yichud Doraisa would kick in. So I'm just mentioning a few nafkaminas, there are a whole bunch, And the thrust of the poskim is to say that nida, insofar as it's a very passing kind of state, it's transitory, it's not permanent, it's not like other arayas. Other arayas in the state that we're looking at, it's a permanent state. You may have abilities to change that state status, but as is now, it's a permanent erva. Nida is not an erva. And it expresses itself here in Agamara, both in terms of yesh bahavaya, which we saw is based on a Gemara Kiddushin, that Kiddushin Tovsin Benida, even though we're holding that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin B'Chiyuv Karetz, and Nida is a Chiyuv Karetz. It must be that Nida is an exception. And Ruli Lekaima, a person can't remain married to a woman who's Osir all of the Karetz, but in the case of Nida, we don't apply those standards. So that's what I'm saying. This question about where you fit Nida in might have tremendous repercussions. Lemaisa, the child of a Nida, meaning if, as a result of this Averas Bia, a child was born, that child is not a Mamzer. Generally speaking, the child of an Isakaris, of a Bias Isakaris, is a Mamzer, not so in the case of a Nida. So we see clearly that Nida is an exception to the rule of Arias. On the one hand, it overlaps with other Arias insofar as it's a Chiyuv Karis, but on the other hand, it's not an Erva, and there are many, many Nafkaminas. So as I said before, if we were to study the Sugya of Nida, this would be a major enterprise. Now the Gemara wants to know about Rav Nechunya ben Akana. This is the sort of like the turning point in the sugya, in which we're entering into a whole new world, the world of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Our Mishnah assumes that if amongst the various psulos that are listed in the Mishnah who get knas, and therefore if a man has a relationship in an Isakaris, he will still pay the knas in onus of mafata. That's against Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana could not possibly accept our Mishnah that if this onus or pitui was with a chiyuv kares, that he would pay the knas. Again, not because the Torah says lo seal isha, not because the whole Parsha is conditional on a woman who he can have a marriage relationship with, Wafuke, let's say, for example, Baal Achoso. No, that's not the issue here. The issue of Nechunya ben Akana is a side issue. It's not because she insofar as she's a Chiyuv Karis, is excluded from Knas. No, she's only excluded from Knas because he, the Ma'anes, violates an Issa Karis, and we cannot force him to pay Tashlumin for the very act that generates a Chiyuv Karis. And the Chiddush here of Rav Nechunya ben Akana is that even though this punishment is not Bidei Adam, it's not an Abezdin, but rather it's Bidei Shamayim, nevertheless the onus Bidei Shamayim is enough to generate the halach of Kimle bin Ramine and exempt him from Tashlumin. So that's what our Gemara says, Lafuke, it's not 10 points down from the top. Lafuke, our Mishnah is to the exclusion of Midrash Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds that not only in the case of an onish bezdin like Misa, in a capital case, do we pater him up from Tashlum, but even in a case of a chiv onish bidei shamayim like Kares, that too is going to pater up a person from Tashlum. Now, in this Tosfos Hakol Modim, if you fast forward about six lines down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you'll see towards the end of the line or towards the middle of the line the word vetema. And what Tosfos is going to say here is that if you recall, we had a number of drushos to include psulos, and they were all based on ribuyim, on extra words in the pasuk. Let's just very, very quickly refresh our memory. This is on Chavtes and Mibbeis. We had one school of thought that derived it from Nara, Nara, Hanara, another from Besula, Habesula, and Habesulos. And each one of those extra words in the pasuk, whether it's Reish Lakish or a Papa, each one of them added another level of a psula. So maybe, Tosfos says, even though Rav Nechunya ben Akana holds in general, the rule is, Eino chayev karis u'meshalim, there's no tashlumin that could be generated by an action that generates a chiyuv karis, but maybe the exception to the rule is the knas of onus of mafata. And why? Because of the special drushos that the Torah included all these levels. Number one, a level of chayvei lavin with one extra pasuk, and then we took it a step further, a level of chayvei krisus. Maybe this is the exception to the rule. The universal rule is going to be eino chayev kares umeshan. But here, you will pay, because in the parasha of Knas, the Torah had extra words to teach you that even though it's a chayev krisus situation, you pay Knas. And the logic of Tosus, I think, again, don't quote me on this, but I think is that Knas is something different than tashlumei mama. Meaning, the nature of knas is such that it could be collectible, even though, let's say, other normal rules would knock off the chiyuv, but here is the exception. So that's what Tosfos says. Minole de mafka minei. How do we know that our Mishnah comes to the exclusion of Rav Nechunya ben Akona Dilma Moda Nechum Rav Nechunya the Chayve Krisus Yeshua Knas de Rabinu Kro, because of the special ribui pasuk in the parasha of Knas in Ma'anis of Mefata. Remember, we had extra psukim. Chad, who took me the lesser chiddush, meaning to include chayvei lavin for Knas, and Chad and chayvei krisus for Knas. And this question really bothers Tosus. At the end of this Tosus, the last 2 lines, he quotes the Rashba. The Al-Karchach Mafka Masnisin Mirab Nechuni Ben Akana the Ein Chiyu Ben Chayvei Krisus L'Chayvei Nisus Bezdin O Me Ason Ason. Okay, so I'm going to leave out the Teretz of Tosus of the Rashba for now, but let's keep in mind before we come back to the Rashba that the Gemara assumes, and we don't know exactly why, what coerced the Gemara to this premise, that Rav Nechunya ben Akona, even in the case of Knas, is going to assume that once you violate a chiyuv kares, you're potter from Tashlumin, you don't pay Knas. Okay, Desanya, where is this Rav Nechunya ben Akona? And then we're going to analyze where he derives, from whence he derives this halacha. Desanya, Rav Nechunya ben Akona, ya oses, yom ha-kippurim, kishavos, litashlumin. So it means like this. If a person burns down his friend's haystack on Shabbos, he doesn't pay damages. There's no compensation. The entire tort law is suspended because he's doing an action for which he's chayav misa, if you assume havara lechalik yotzis. Okay, I'm not going into the other mandiyam who says havara lelav yotzis. But we're talking about havara is one of the 39 malafis, which would engender a chayav misa, and he doesn't pay damages. So you can imagine what this means. I mean, a haystack that's worth, who knows, we cannot extract any payment for him. What about the case of Hamadlik Eskindisha Shalver B'Yom HaKippurim? The difference between Yom HaKippurim and Shabbos is that on Yom Kippur there is no Chiyuv Misa. It's not a capital crime. It's only a Chiyuv B'Dei Shamayim of Kares. Comes along, Rav Nechunya ben Akona, he says, to the same extent that we exempt him from payment on Shabbos because of the Chiyuv Misas Bezdin, so too we can exempt him from payment on Yom Kippur because of the Chiyuv Kares. So let's read it again. Rav Nechunya ben Akona, ya oses, Yom HaKippurim, kishabbos l'tashlumin. No, it's for a p'tur tashlumin. Ma Shabbos, just like in the case of Shabbos, mischayv benafsho potim min hatashlumin, af b'yom hakippurim, mischayv benafsho upotim min hatashlumin. Now, what's very strange here, and all the Rishonim are bothered by the language of this price, of the formulation of Rav Nechunya ben Akona, why does he have to go as far as to equate Yom HaKippurim with Shabbos? Why not just simply say, Af Chive Kares Potem Min HaTashlumin? He should have made a general statement about all Chive Krisus. Why did he have to hone in on the case of Yom HaKippurim? And the answer that they give is that Rav Nechunya ben Akona's brisa was an addendum, was connected, attached to Masechta Megillah. Baruch Hashem, we learned this Mishnah Megillah probably about a half a year ago. Anyway, at the beginning of Megillah, it says Ein Ben Shabbos Liyom HaKippur. Remember all those Mishnayos of Ein Ben? And as soon as I think of it, I get a headache. Just thinking about it. Ein Ben Shabbos Liyom HaKippur. Ela shezez dono bidei adam, vizez dono bikares. There is no difference in Shabbos and Yom Kippur except in the Chumas HaOnesh. So on that, Rabbi Nachman ben Akona added his comment that they're equal in all other venues, including Ptur Tashlum. So that's just the technical point that we want to make. Now there's another point that we want to make here, and that is that the Mishnah later on in our Perikei Lunaris on Daf Lamed Vav is going to derive this equation between Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim from the parasha of Kimlei B'Derabimineh. Why? Because in the parasha Kimlei B'Derabimineh, which is in Parashas Mishpatim Shmos Chaf Al, there's a case where a man is fighting in a brawl with another man, and he accidentally, instead of killing the man that he wanted to kill, he struck a pregnant woman, and two things happen. Number one, the woman, her life is in danger, and there are two possibilities, right? And the other thing that he did was he destroyed the fetus. So the Torah says that whether or not he pays what's called Dmei Volados would depend upon whether she survives. If she survives, that's called Velo Yeh Ason, and that's going to be the key word for our entire discussion today. The word Ason, which literally means a tragedy. Ason, Aleph Samach Vav Nun. The Torah says, Lo Yeh Ason, if there was no tragedy, meaning she survived it, then Anosh Yeh Onesh. Then we impose upon him a Chiv Tashluma to pay Dmei Vlodos. And the Gemara is Medayek, later on, the Mishnah itself actually, that Ha Im Yeh Ason, if there will be an Ason and she dies, then Lo Yeh Onesh. Then we don't impose upon him a Chiv Mama. So the question is, why did the Torah use the word ason? And we're going to see that Rabbi Nachman ben Akona builds castles in the sky on this word ason, that the word ason is a very particular, peculiar word that the Torah chose to indicate something that happens bidei shamayim as a result of divine providence. It's the intervention of the Almighty. We're not talking about Bezdin here, when otherwise the Torah wouldn't have used the word Ason. So just to give you a flavor of what's coming up around the bend. So let's just summarize what we have over here. Our mission at the beginning of Elul Naros is coming to exclude Rav Nachman ben Akona. It means that if a man is Ma'anes Achiv Kares, the Mishnah gives a whole long list. Let's take the first case on the list is Achoso. He's Chayiv Kares for that Ma'isavir, but yet he pays Knas. And that's to the exclusion of Rav Nachunya ben Akona. Rav Nachunya ben Akona equates a chayve krisis situation, which is an onesh bidei shamayim, with a case of misa. That just like in the case of misa, we don't incur a chiyuv tashlumin, so too in the case of a chiyuv krisis, we don't incur a chiyuv tashlumin. Therefore, hence, in the case of ma'anis es ha'achoso, let's say, etc., the whole list, there would be no possibility of forcing him to pay the knas simply because we have a rule called Kimlei B'Derabimineh. And now the Gemara wants to analyze the logic or the root of Rav Nachunya ben Akona. My timer, the Rav Nachunya ben Akona. Why does Rav Nachunya ben Akona hold that even if the onesh is bidei shamayim, like the case of Kares, nevertheless we don't collect tashlum? Meaning, the Gemara assumes that the burden of proof here, the ball is, as we'd say, in Rav Nachunya ben Akona's court. He's got to come up with some basis for his analogy, for his equation between an onesh bidei shamayim and an onesh bidei adam. Because if you're telling Bezdin, you know what, you should impose one punishment and not two, that's something that you can address to Bezdin. But as far as Shamayim is concerned, you know, that's not our issue down in these courts. In these courts, we have no punishment to impose upon other than a Chiyuv Mamon. So the Chiyuv Mamon basically, for all intents and purposes, stands alone. It's not a double kind of jeopardy because there's only a Chiyuv Mamon here. So why do Rav Nachunya ben Akona extend the case of Eino Meshalim to the Halach of Eino Meshalim to the case of Chivei Karis, which is only an Onesh B'Dei Shamayim? Omar Abaye, Abaye says that he derives it from one unique word in the Torah, in the parasha of Ki Natsu Anoshim. So this is in Mishpatim, and the Torah says that if he hits this pregnant woman, the Torah says that if lo yeh ason, if there won't be an ason, some tragedy, in other words, she doesn't die, then the Torah says, anosh yeh anesh, then we impose upon him a compensation package in which he has to pay to mei vlodos. What is the significance of the word ason? Comes along Rav Nechunya ben Akana, and he says the Torah makes the payment of Dmei Vlados contingent on Ason. If there is Ason, he doesn't pay Dmei Vlados. If there's no Ason, he doesn't pay. Well, what is this Ason? So the truth is, says Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Ason is a word, I'm going to prove it to you, from another parasha in the Torah towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, in the parasha of Binyamin. You may remember that Yaakov refuses. He's very hesitant to allow Yehuda to take Binyamin down to Mitzrayim like the viceroy of Egypt had demanded, because he's afraid of an ason. That if you take Binyamin down, then just like his older brother died, that maybe Karo ason, Binyamin is going to have some sort of an ason. Now, we're going to have to analyze whether Yaakov Avinu's fear of an ason, of something tragic happening, befalling Binyamin, is that an ason bidei Adam? Probably not. It's probably an ason bidei Shamayim. And that's going to hence give us a shed a light, if you will, on what the word ason means in Parshas Mishpatim. Keep in mind, again, in Mishpatim, the Torah says whether or not the nogef, the one who hit the woman, whether or not he pays to make vlados, is contingent on ason. If there is an ason, then he doesn't pay. What does it mean, is an ason? The ason means bidei adam. Well, yeah, sometimes the word ason could mean bidei adam. But if I can prove to you that in one case the word ason means bidei shamayim, that's going to have an impact on chive kares, which is an ason bidei shamayim. Now, exactly what kares is like a five-way machlokas at the beginning of Masechta Yevamos. We're going to assume one shita. I'm not telling you that this is a lakshin, you know, Torah's lakshin, but one shita is that if he's chayiv kares, he'll die before the age of 60. That's why a lot of Gedolei Yisrael used to have a special party on the 60th birthday. You know, the giants of Israel were not into birthday parties, except for a few exceptions. One of them is the age of 60 because it's Yotzei Mechal Kares.
One was 52 because of
52, I never heard
Shmuel,
of.
Yeah, because that was why Shmuel lived to 52. Because then nobody would say he died because of Kares.
So maybe there is such a shita that you'll die before the age of 52. I never heard such a shita.
Yeah,
but
I remember reading that as a commentary when he was, right. Yeah, he was saying.
But if you take a look at the
Bilam died at 30 because it was half.
But if you take, yeah, Tosfos at the beginning of Yevamos on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, he says you're going to die before the age of 60. In any event, let's see Omar Abaye. Abaye explains and reveals the secret of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Nemar ason bidei adam. Right, the word ason appears in this parasha of a woman who, again, if she does die, right, that's called bidei adam, meaning that there was a human intervention here of a maaser tzicha of murder, right? Again, I'm not going into the question, which is the main sugya in Masechta Bava Kamma, about Ratza is coming laharagazeh aragazeh. Keep in mind, he never really had in mind to kill this woman. But we're holding like the maniobra that if he had in mind to kill somebody, even if he kills someone else, he's considered a rotzeah. That's a different sugya. Not for us today. Please, we got to get through this sugya today. In any event, so it says in the pasuk v'lo yason anoshi anesh, meaning if she doesn't die as a result of the blow that she received from this man, which is called an ason bidei adam, meaning if she dies, then he's chayav mises bezdin. So you might have thought that the contingency here, as far as Dmei Vlados, is whether we can put him to death for murder. Right? For murder. So maybe the word ason here depends upon whether we, Beis Din, can implement the capital punishment. Says Abaye in explaining Rav Nachum ben Karta Nemar, Asam Bidei Shemayim. We have another word, we have another context in which the Torah employs the word Ason. I'll read to you the whole parasha. It says in Bereishis Mem Beis Vayomer, and Yaakov Avinu declares, Lo Yered B'ni Machem, I'm not going to allow you to take Binyamin. Ki Achiv Meis, for Hulav Adon Nishar. Now that's an interesting phrase, right? He's the only one who's left from Rachel. Ukra'o ason baderech, Hashem telchu bo. You're going to take him down to Mitzrayim, and some ason Hashem is going to befall him. Ma ason ha'omer bidei adam potu min atashlumin, af ason ha'omer bidei shamayim potu min atashlumin. Meaning that the Torah went out of its way to use the word ason to indicate that the ptur min atashlumin, which the Torah says, that implies at least that if there will be an ason and she'll die, he doesn't have to pay to make vlados. That implication is not limited to the case of chiyuv misas bezdin. It's not limited to the case of what we call misa bidei adam, but applies even in the case of a misa bidei shamayim. And how do I know this? Because the Torah employs the word ason in a different context, and that different context is going to shed a light on the word ason in the parish of Kimle v'derabimineh of Isha Shemesa. That it's not limited to the case of Isha Shemesa, but applies even to a case where, as a result of his action, he would incur a chiyuv kares. And again, lo ye anish means because of the ason. Right, again, it's very interesting. Everything that we're saying is based on a diuk in the pasuk. The Torah says, "Veloya ason, then anosh ye anish." Right, it means if she survives, then he pays the dmei vlados. If she dies, he doesn't pay the dmei vlados. Why? Because he's chayav misas bezdin as a murderer, and that knocks off the chiyuv mamon. The Gemara is saying that if you only had that parasha, you would probably limit it. If the word ason only appeared in this context, in the parasha of Ki Nogfu, then you would limit it to the case where he's chayav misas bezdin, and misas bezdin can knock off a chiyuv tashlumin. But now that the Torah used the word ason in a more inclusive way, and it's general because even if the ason is b'dei shamayim, it's called an ason, then again we're going to have a same diuk. If there would be an ason, which means a chiyuv b'dei shamayim, then lo ye onesh, he doesn't get punished. So this is the entire structure of the Yalfusa, the derivation here of Rav Nechunya ben Akon. So here, Rabosa, I want to share with you a bit of a long note here that I find in the Masifta. And it's all based on the Pnei Yoshua. You know that the Pnei Yoshua lived in he wasn't born in Germany, but he was a rav in Germany back 2.5 centuries ago. And he says the following. So bear with me on this, and after I finish it, we'll summarize it. He says that the Gemara understood clearly that the reasoning of Rav Nechunya ben Akana in the case of someone, for example, who lights a fire to his friend's haystack on Yom Kippur and he's potum et tashlumin is based on kim lei b'derabimineh. So, the Pnei Yoshua, I don't understand. Okay, it's true that Rav Nechunya ben Akana made that statement that if Ruvei lights up Shimon's godish on Yom Kippur, he doesn't pay for that. Fine, but that doesn't mean kim lei b'derabimineh. It doesn't necessarily mean kim lei b'derabimineh. What it could be is that Rav Nechunya ben Akana holds that even a chiyuv onesh bidei bezdin of malkos is enough to not go off tashlumin. Why? Because let's assume, for argument's sake, that this person who lit up his friend's gadish on Yom Kippur was given a hasra. He was an absolute mazid. He was a deliberate, intentional violator of Yom HaKippurim. And the law is that anything that generates a chiyuv kares, and for this we have to learn Masechet Malkus, if he had a asra for Malkus, he gets Malkus. So perhaps Rav Nechunya ben Akana is not based on chiyuv bidei shamayim, which was, if you remember, the original inhibition that the Gemara had, but rather it's based on a chiyuv bidei bezdin, bidei adam, namely a chiyuv malchus. So in a case where there would be a mezid without a hasra, then he's chayav kares. And maybe in that case, from the Chuyim ben Anakara would agree to the Chachamim that he pays for damages because there's no Chiyuv Bidei Beznin. But from the Chuyim ben Anakara knocked off the Chiyuv Mamon in the case of a Madlages Gedisha Shachaver Vyoma Kippurim when he had Edom and Asra. And if he had Edom and Asra for Malchus, he's going to get Malchus V'eino Loka Mishalim. Now, to take that position of V'eino Loka Mishalim is not a radical position. I mean, We're going to see later on in this parak, again, this whole parak is dedicated to one theme almost, and that's Kim Lei Rabbeinu. We're going to see that almost all the shittas agree that Kim Lei Rabbeinu applies to Malchus and Mamon. So that maybe Rabbi Nechuyi Ben HaKadosh is just simply reiterating what we know, that even in a case of Malchus, which is not Misa, insofar as the Chiyuv, a chiyuv bezdin, an onish bezdin, it knocks off the chiyuv mamon. But enafinami, in the absence of asra for malchus, where he only gets karis bidei shamayim, he would have to pay. So the Pnei Yeshua offers two answers to this question. When I heard the first answer, I thought, Dayenu, this is good enough for me. But then I worked very hard on the second answer. I got very excited about the second answer. His first answer is the following. If Rav Nechuni ben Akana is talking about a universal rule of Malkos, that Malkos knocks off Chiyuv Mamon, why would he mention Yom HaKippurim? He should have mentioned Yontif. Any Yontif, any of the Shol Shrigalim, generate a Chiyuv Malkos. So he should have said that if a person, you know, burns down his friend's haystack on Yontif, that's enough to pater him up from Tashlumin. Why? Because he's Chayav Malkus. Why did he hone in on Yom HaKippurim? Now again, we said before that the reason why Rav Nechuni ben Akana mentions Yom HaKippurim is because he wanted to build his case on the Mishnah in Megillah of Ein Ben. So that the first answer of the Pnei Yeshua is going to have to come into contention with that approach that Rav Nechuni ben Akana only mentioned Yom Kippur because he was commenting on the Mishnah. But nevertheless, I still think that the Pnei Yeshua is absolutely correct, because even if Rav Nechuni ben Akana is commenting on the Mishnah in Megillah about the comparison and contrast between Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim, even so, Rav Nechuni ben Akana should have told me that the reason why on Yom HaKippurim he's potter from Tashlumin, just like in the case of Shabbos, and that equation is maintained, is because of the Chiyuv Malchus. And that would have been a tremendous chiddush, because then he's telling you about Yontif as well as Yom HaKippurim. But listen to the second approach of the Pnei Yeshua, and tell me after I summarize it, if you follow. He says the following. If the Ptur Tashlumin of Nechuni ben Akana is based on the Chiyuv Malkus, he says the following. There's still a fundamental difference here between Yom HaKippurim and Shabbos. In the case of Shabbos, even in the absence of Hasra, if a person violates one of the 39 categories of Malach on Shabbos, he doesn't pay Tashlumin, even without Hasra. On the other hand, in the case of Yom HaKippurim, the only time that he would be part of Tashlumin is only if there was a Hasra for Malkus. Correct? Again, this is all arguing against the Habamina of the Pnei Yeshua.
What is Hasra? What does that mean?
Hasra, I'm sorry, means a warning. In other words, if you're about to violate Yom Kippur, I can give you Hasra that you'll get Malkus for this violation. And in such a case, if there are two Edom and Hasra that testify that you violated Yom Kippur, you'll get Malkus for that.
Malkus also needs a warning?
Malkus always needs a warning. That's Chok V'lo Yadav. There's no exception to that rule. The Chiddush that we're saying today is that if you gave Malkus for Chiyuv Kares, then you get Malkus. Now, Chiyuv Kares is only sort of the icing on the cake. If we can't give you an Onish Beznin, for example, because there was no Asra, HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you up in Shemayim. But a Chiyuv Kares is Yesh B'chal Masai Manah. It's 200. It's 100 plus another 100. It's 100 for Chiyuv Malkus. And on top of that, if there's no possibility of giving you Malkus, then HaKadosh Baruch will take care of you in Shemayim. That's called Kares. So the Pnei Yeshua is bothered. Maybe Rav Nechuni ben Akana is only knocking off the Tashlumin in the case of the violation of Yom Kippur, when there was a Hasrad, he warned him for Malkus, and then he gets Malkus, it's the Malkus Bidei Bezdin that knocks off the Tashlum. But Menuchin Ben HaKonah never went as far as to say that Achiv Karis alone, without an Onish Bezdin, is going to knock off Tashlum. So the Pnei Yeshua's first answer is, then Rav Nechuy ben HaKodesh should have generalized it to include Yontif. Yontif is a classic lav with Achi of Malkus, and Rav Nechuy ben HaKodesh should have told me that not only on Yom Kippur does he get exempt from Tashlum Imamim, but even in the case of Yontif, because so the fact that he honed in on Yom Kippur means he wasn't talking about the Chi of Malkus. That's upgrade. That goes without saying that the Chi of Malkus would completely exempt him from Tashlum. But Mechunyi Ben HaKonah said even on Yom Kippur, meaning where there would be no Malkus because there was no Asra, nevertheless he doesn't pay damages because he's Chayv Karis Bidei Shamayim. That was the first answer of the Pnei Yoshua. The second answer of the Pnei Yoshua is the following. After all, Rav Nechuny ben HaKonah wants to maintain an equality, an equation, between Shabbos and Yom HaKippurim, based on the Mishnah Megillah of Ein Bein. And he wants to say that despite the fact that Yom HaKippurim is only a Chi of Kares, it has the same identical din as Shabbos. Says the Pnei Yoshua, that's not true. And the reason I want to learn this with you today is because it sets up some of the fundamentals for what we're going to learn during the entire course of this parak. And the fundamental breakthrough here, which the Pnei Yoshua establishes explicitly, is that in the case of Kim Lev the Rabbinei on Shabbos, meaning Chiyuv Misa, that applies even in the absence of a Hasra. Now Rabosa, if there was no Hasra, and a person violates the Shabbos, what punishment does Bezdin mete out to him? Zippo. There is no punishment. And yet he doesn't pay Tashlumin. Tashlumin doesn't require Asra. We should have him compensate his friend for burning down his haystack. But the answer is that in the case of a Chi of Misa, we look at the Avera in an abstract way. I don't know if I'm being clear here. What I mean in abstract means conceptually, if this Avera is an Avera that belongs to the parish of cardinal sins of Chiyuv Misa, we're not talking about the Befoal, whether we actually implement the Chiyuv Misa, but if the Avera was such on such an intense level that it could lend itself to a Chiyuv Misa, that's enough to exempt him from Tashlumin. And that's a very important principle that we're going to flesh out as we go through this parak. Right now we have to accept it sort of like as a Bamunas Chachamim.
Wait, is this generally accepted?
Yeah. This is going to be one of the most fundamental principles here. It's called Chizkia. It's called Chayvin Misas Shogigim. That if this Avera, even if it was done B'Shogig and we cannot put him to death, nevertheless it knocks off all the Tashlum. Even in the case of Shogig.
And including compensation. We're not just talking.
I'm talking about Tashlumin meaning compensation. If I use the word Tashlumin, I mean compensation. Sometimes I don't always remember to translate it into English, and I apologize for that. And that's it.
But Beshogeg,
I get carried away, you know.
So Beshogeg, the act itself.
No punishment whatsoever.
No, right.
It still knocks off the Chiv Tashlumin, the compensation. That's not true in the case of Yom HaKippurim. I'll read to you the language of the Pnei Yoshua. He says the following. There's no justification to equate Yom HaKippurim and Shabbos. Why? Because he says that Arei Shabbos Afilu Lo Hisru Bo Niftar Me'at Tashlumin. He doesn't pay compensation. Sherei Din Kimle B'the Rabbinei in terms of Achiv Misa applies Gam B'Shogeg. Even though befall, we're not going to punish him for his cardinal sin of violating the Shabbos. Nevertheless, he's exempt from punishment. He's exempt from compensation. Mikolakom potu min tashlumin. Masha enken, he says in Kachas Chiv Malkus. Okay, this is the sugi of Rabbi Yochanan later on. We're going to get to it very soon. Again, all this is going to be fleshed out, but I think it's a good opportunity to like set the pattern for us. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Chiyuv Malkios Shogegin, let's say, for example, a person would wear shatnez and violate a Chiyuv Malkus, but he was a shogeg. He didn't realize it was shatnez. Or he eats chazir and he doesn't know that it's chazir. That's a Chiyuv Malkus Shogegin. So he doesn't get Malkus in such cases as Shogeg. Nevertheless, I'm sorry, not nevertheless, but therefore, I should say, therefore, chayv v'tashlumin. In other words, when it comes to Malkus, the halacha of Kibble and Rabbeinu changes radically. Chiyuv Malkus naksof tashlumin only before, which means if we have all the conditions necessary to implement the punishment of Malkus, we will implement the punishment of Malkus and we exempt him from payment. Not so in the case of a cardinal sin of a chiyuv misa like Shabbos. There we look at the Avera and we identify the Avera as an Avera which in potential, conceptually, theoretically, would be Mechayev Misa if we had all the conditions necessary. That's enough to knock off the Chiyuv Tashlum in the compensation, even if befall in actuality we will not mete out the higher punishment. Again, these are all sugyas later on, so this may sound very strange to your ears if you've never learned the third parak of Ksuvos. But in any event, this entire presentation of the Pnei Yeshua is to justify the most fundamental assumption in our Gemara. The Gemara doesn't question this assumption. According to Rabbi Nachman ben Hakana, if this Avera engenders a Chiyuv Karis, you don't pay Tashlumin. No compensation, you're off the hook. Where did Rabbi Nachman ben Hakana say that? He only said it in the case of Yom HaKippurim. There he's Chayv Malkus if there was Asra for Malkus. And maybe it's because of the Malkus that Rabbi Nachman ben Hakana patters him up from Tashlumin. Nay, says the Pnei Yeshua, even in the absence of Asra, and therefore there will be no Malkus befall, nevertheless, from the Chiyuv ben Hakana holds that he doesn't pay tashlumin. Why? Because the Chiyuv Karis. Because the word Ason is a Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim. And what we're about to embark upon now for the next, the remainder of this Amud is to try to figure out if the word Ason really means Bidei Shamayim. Does it really mean so? So we can get into certain issues about what's called Tzinin U'Pachin. Tzinin U'Pachin means that, let's say, if you walk barefoot on a cold floor, do you catch cold and you get sick? You may even get an infection. So is that bidei shamayim or is it bidei adam? You're responsible for the fact that you shouldn't have been walking barefoot on a cold floor. And then we have a case of a person who got attacked by a beast, by an animal, a wild animal. He was devoured by a lion. Anyone wants to know, is that bidei shamayim or bidei adam? Meaning, maybe he was chayev misa and there was not enough evidence to put him to death, or maybe it was fine to say we don't have a Sanhedrin Agdola to put him to death, so God sent a lion to put him to death. And the fascinating thing about this sugya, it's a very gory sugya, I warned you, a lot of blood here. The Gemara is going to go through the four categories of Mrs. Bezin, that's Skilus Reifa Harry Mechani, four different ways we put to death a person for a capital crime. And the Gemara is going to go through all types of deaths. Very gory Gemara. And each death parallels one of the four Mises Bezdin. So if Bezdin couldn't have put you to death for whatever reason, Hashem is going to find a parallel death. And we're going to go into detail about all these four categories of death and how you end up dying. This is really, there were stories in the Medrash where during the time of, let's say, the Roman persecutions, that Gedol Yisrael were put to death. And on their way to death, they would begin to analyze what they were guilty of based on the way that the Romans were putting them to death. Do you follow what I'm saying? Was that clear? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Shmuel himself was put to death by a sword, and he starts thinking, well, the Torah says that if you violate inui almana, meaning you insult a widow, then you'll be put to death by sword. It's a pasuk in Mishpatim. So he started thinking, when did I insult an almana that they're putting me to death by sword? Because he started crying. And they said, why are you crying? In a minute you'll be in the bosom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're the great Rabbi Yishmael. So he said, it must be I'm being taken to death in this way because I insulted an almana. So the Medrash in Eicha says, what almana did he insult? So the Medrash goes through a whole amazing story about a case where Rabbi Shmuel was representing the Jewish people for the Romans in front of the Malchus of the Romans. And one time he came back, he was absolutely exhausted, it was a rough day, and a certain almana came to ask him a question. His sexton, I don't know what you call it, came to the door as she was knocking, and and said to her, I can't disturb my rabbi because he had a very exhausting day. He fell into bed and I can't wake him up. So the Gemara, the Medrash says in Eichah that she wiped away her tear. And that was his inui alman, that maybe he should have, you know, he should have instructed his shavish that if an almana would come along, wake me up, you know, something. So Rav Soloveitchik says, well, what's going on over here? He says that the almana is so super sensitive that she thinks if my husband would have been alive and he would have knocked on the door, then he would have woken up the rabbi. But because I'm an almana, who cares about the almana? And she was insulted and she brushed away a tear from her eye. That's how Rav Soloveitchik understands this Medrash in Eicha. And he uses this as a Keresh Kfitza, you know, to talk about Beinonim L'Chavero and the levels of sensitivity that we have to have. Okay, Rabbi, so I think we're running out of time here, so let's just make a note. If I could borrow your pencil, Josh, if you still have one,
yep.
I'll make a swap with you. We'll put away, close the air conditioning, and we'll pick this up tomorrow. Okay, then?
Rabbi, we're going to DLC.
Now I teach at DLC. Can I give you a lift?
Yeah, that's fine.
Great.